Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Whether you're tuning in through Conversations Radio Network, we welcome you. Those joining us on the radio dial in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM, we're glad that you all could tune in, as well as those joining us on the East Coast in Atlanta at Atlanta's 106liveradio.com. We're glad to have you all with us as well. Barbara Claypole White is with us today to discuss not only her new book, Echoes of Family, but what it's been like for her to write entertaining reads that not only, of course, I think, help us to see life differently, but also to see ourselves as human beings differently as well. In this book, she gives us a great cast of characters. We're going to talk to Barbara about that, but also what it's been like for her already to hear from her readers about the new book. Barbara, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
Hey, the pleasure is definitely all mine. As I was saying to you before we went on here, really enjoyed this book, Barbara. A lot for us to discuss. You know, Barbara, as we are wrapping up what is, fastly approaching the year that was 2016, I mean, you know, this book is one of the highlights for you. What has it been like for you, Barbara, already to see the way that people are gravitating toward these characters?
Well, you know, this is my world. I'm an OCD advocate. I'm a mother and a wife before anything else. And the two people I love most, my husband and my son, both battle mental illness, obsessive compulsive disorder. So this is my world, and I feel very fortunate that I can write fiction that basically is about my passion, which is chipping away at the stereotypes of mental illness. And I've been very fortunate because I've had two publishers who supported me in that. So I just hope that I hope people you know, welcome Marianne with open arms. Marianne wants to make noise and be heard, and I hope that she does that. And I know that, you know, a diagnosis of bipolar disorder can be so terrifying. You know, one of our family members does live with it. And, you know, I hope Marianne shows a human side of someone who has spent most of her life trying to manage and deal with, you know, her mental illness, and how she thought that she had won the war and that she had great balance in her life. She's very successful. She's not a victim. She is a survivor. She's a three-time suicide survivor. But still, you know, the monster has come back. And that's my reality. I understand that, you know, it does come back.
Yeah. You know, and maybe, you know, now that we're talking about it, Barbara, that might be part of the reason why I enjoyed the book so much. I have a cousin that also has bipolar disorder. And, you know, to be able to see her journey, to see her living with the reality, and then, of course, being able to share that and, you know, and to not allow shame and guilt to, you know, to overwhelm her has been great to see. What's so interesting about Marianne is we're able to see in the book, and I'll talk around this so we won't spoil it for those who haven't read it yet, is that like everything else in our lives, and I think this is the universal connection, I think when something does scare us, it's our normal instinct to run from it. And Marianne tries to do that in a literal way, I think, to try to distance herself from what was. But I think this book reminds us all, Barbara, that, you know, the important thing is to face it and then to realize we're not going through these challenges alone. Has that been one of the things that helped you?
Absolutely. And I think actually it comes back to the Voldemort, he who shall not be named argument. You know, it's the things that you don't face that quietly grow and fester. You know, I'm a big believer, for example, that, you know, as a writer, when you get negative reviews, you can get on the pity pot and feel sorry for yourself. I think that you have to embrace strong emotions, you know, fear, shame, whatever they are, but just don't do it on social media.
Right.
You know, I think that, you know, one of the hardest things for me, sharing my family with mental illness, has been trying to, certainly in the early days, deal with the isolation, the sense that you're alone, the sense that nobody understands what happens, you know, when you shut the door. People's judgment, you know, one of the things that my son said to me when he was very little, and my son is an amazing human being who has, you know, really, I hate to say owned it, but he's owned the fact that he's mentally ill. He was talking about it on Facebook today. He has no problem saying, I'm mentally ill. You know, he's a brilliant young man. He's an award-winning poet, musician. He's a creative writing major at Oberlin, straight-A student, smart, funny, empathetic, and but, you know, everyday life is hard for him. But when he was not very old, he actually said to me, I think he was probably about 10, he said, I am not my disorder. And I think that's the most empowering thing, and that's the message that we have to keep getting out. And I hope that that's the message that Marianne just pushes off into the universe in her own funky, mad, crazy little way. You know, you are not your disorder. She's a very successful woman who happens to be manic depressive. That doesn't define her. She doesn't I'm sorry. She doesn't let it define her.
Sure, sure. And I think, again, that that is the great thing about this book, Barbara, is that it reminds us all that no matter what it is that's in our life or what has happened in our past, those things don't have to be the things that, you know, that we live under. Unfortunately for Marianne, it takes her a while to be able to realize that. And fortunately for her, and unlike what a lot of people experience, is that Marianne actually had people who loved and cared about her. She had Gabriel, who our audience will be able to read about. She had her husband. She had Darius there to be able to show that. How important was that for you? Did you also base that on the fact that you have been able to have that support, Barbara? How important was it for you to make sure that she had that support system?
Oh, my goodness. It's everything. I was very active in a local group, a support group for parents of OCD kids. And when I joined the group, it was really my way to pay it forward because my son was in a very good place with his OCD. He was 90% OCD free. We thought we'd licked it. We thought we'd bashed that old monster on the head. And it came back in junior year of high school, and I discovered I needed that support group as much as the new moms. I used to call them the new moms because I was the mom who'd been dealing with this the longest. And, you know, now I'm in a number of closed online support groups for caregivers of OCD people. And it's so, so important because the reality is that, you know, even though your friends and your family will love and understand you and try to understand what you're going through, and unless you've, you know, walked that high wire, you don't really get it. It's just such a relief to be around people who talk the language, who understand what's going on. It's more than just saying, oh, I'm sorry you're having a rough day. It's saying, no, honey, I get it. You know, we're in hell too. And there's a lot of humor and love in the support groups. And I think that's what keeps us all going. And we have to realize that we aren't alone, that other people are living the same challenges and dealing with the same battles every day.
Yeah, I think that is so true, and a great reminder again for all of us, again, that there are people out there who definitely understand. For those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're already having a great conversation today with award-winning author Barbara Claypole White. We're talking with her not only about her own literary journey and how she's been able to draw from her own experiences, but her newest book is called Echoes of Family, and we're able to meet a fascinating family, including Marianne, the main character, who are going through things I think that all of us can relate to for sure. I smell to myself, Barbara, when you mentioned social media, because the internet even plays a part in this book and the way that some of the characters connect, you know, with each other, are able to communicate as well. What has that aspect been like for you? You mentioned the online groups that you're in. What has that been like for you to hear from people, Barbara, who you've never met, who don't know you, but definitely have been supportive and have been inspiring to you?
Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful because, again, it echoes, but it just echoes, you know, the sense of community. And it's amazing because my first interactions with readers are normally quite emotional. I get a lot of, private tweets and Facebook messages and emails from readers who say, oh, my goodness, you know, I was in such a bad place and I picked up your book and it made me feel less alone. And I have to tell you, you know, I've never told anyone this before, but you know, blah, 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 it's happened in my life. I did a book club once, and an older woman followed me into the restroom. Sorry, my Brit showing. followed me into the restroom to kind of whisper, oh, I haven't told people, but my mother was schizophrenic. And it's I think it's empowering when you can share that stuff, because the reality is that not everyone can be public about their demons, and you shouldn't have to be. But if you are in a good place, as much as you can be with this stuff, as my family is, then I think you can only help others by talking about it publicly, because you can reach
sure.
that one person who can't go outside, you know, who still, you know, maybe still they're frightened of shame or judgment, or maybe their family isn't supportive. So it's wonderful to discover that there is this whole kind of hidden network out there of people who want to talk about mental illness and share their experiences.
Yeah. For those who have not read the book yet, Barbara, I wanted to say something I mentioned to you earlier before we went
mm-hmm.
on, that what you're able to do is, of course, we have the main character, Marianne, but there's also her husband, Darius, there's Jade, and, of course, Gabriel that we meet. You're able to kind of, you give them, even though the book is written in third person, you give us these prominent characters that we're kind of able to learn more about them. And one of the chapters that really struck me, of course, is Darius, who is Marianne's husband, is kind of conflicted as to why Marianne has gone to Gabriel, someone from
mm-hmm.
her past, instead of coming to her. And there's a great conversation you wrote in chapter 21 with Jade, who is kind of the prominent force in that chapter. And basically what we're able to see there is that, you know, that we all have our comfort zone, right? We all
mm-hmm.
have people who we feel like we can go to when we're going through difficulties or when the chips are down. What was it like for you to show that Marianne and Gabriel could have a relationship that was only supportive and not the way that maybe Darius was questioning if it was something more than that?
Well, I'm always fascinated by the layers of relationships. And I'm a big believer in that, you know, when you've given someone a little part of your heart, you never get it back, not truly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I knew that Gabriel had made very different life choices to Marianne, and I was intrigued. I didn't really know how it was going to play out between them. You know, the book came to me as a scene playing in my childhood church, and there was Marianne and Gabriel. And I didn't know how it was going to play out at all. Jade came much later, and then Darius came later. And, you know, I listened to the voices in my head. I really do.
Yeah.
So, I was intrigued. And, you know, I had a serious relationship when I was a young teenager. And, you know, I'm just always intrigued at how those things play out as we get older. And, you know, I have very old, very dear friends back in England. And, you know, when I go back to visit my mother and my sister, I pick up on my old friendships, and it's as if that nothing has really changed. And I think in some way, those really old friendships, the really important thing about Gabriel and Marianne is not that they were childhood sweethearts, but they were best friends for 16 years. And that kind
right.
of relationship, I don't think that can just really go away. And I think that the attempts at intimacy, teenage intimacy, just got in the way and muddied what was a great and very supportive relationship. So that's what I was really intrigued about. I wanted to see how much of the friendship was still there. So it was fun. It was fun digging through their garbage.
Right. You know, there was a great line, Barbara. I'm so glad you mentioned that. I have made a note of this line. Classic Jade, I have to say, where Darius is saying, okay, do you trust him? And Jade says to Darius, yesterday he was wearing a black maxi dress and doing God's work. I'd bet my car on the fact that Gabriel's not wired for lying.
Well, you know, Jade just came out. Jade literally came out walking and talking. Because my son is an intern at a local recording studio in Carrboro, North
mm-hmm.
Carolina, that's not unlike Nightjar. And you know, they work late nights, they work odd shifts. And he came home at midnight one night because they'd just been doing a session. And he was talking about the chief sound engineer, who was a woman. And it was just such a great story. And I went to bed, and the next morning I woke up at like 6 o'clock, so I get up at 6 to write every morning, and there was Jade. She was in my head. She was walking. She was talking. I knew exactly how she sounded. I just didn't know what she looked like until I was standing in the post office one day, and there was this very, very beautiful, stylish young woman in front of me, and she turned around and went, "Oh, my God, you're Jade." So, yeah, I had so much. Every time Jade came on the page, I was having so much fun. She just cracked me up. I loved her.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's so many great layers, again, to this book. Our audience is going to really enjoy this. Again, everyone, we've been speaking with Barbara Claypole White today. She's the award-winning author. The new book is called Echoes of Family. I want to wrap up this segment, Barbara, and what a great time it's been speaking with you, but talking about one of Marianne's own chapters, and that's chapter 49. And I think, you know, the thing is, again, it's that point that I think is so important about not feeling alone, you know, and realizing that when you have something good, the important thing is to work on it, to be there. Darius really tries to make Marianne know that he is not going anywhere, you know, that no matter where she goes, that he's going to be there for her, and that, you know, he believes in what they, you know, and what they are in, and he even says to her that we're going to be able to sort this thing out, you know, and I think that is the important thing. Is that one of the big inspirational things for you, that to let people know, regardless of whether they're going through some type of disorder or just going through a challenge in their lives, that people that they love are going to be there for them, and they're not going to abandon them during the difficulties, but be there to help them through them?
Absolutely, because, you know, it comes back to some of the darker moments I've had with my son, where, you know, I remember one day when he was in really bad shape, and I was trying to make him feel better, because that's what moms do, right? And he looked at me and he said, you can't understand. You can never understand what goes on in my head. And that's true. I can't. But, you know, I'm still his mother, and I'm going to be there and support him no matter what. And sometimes when he's in a bad place, and when he was younger, I would just sit outside his bedroom door so he knew I was there. I mean, I think that, you know, from my son's point of view, I liked that he could say that to me. I liked that he felt comfortable enough to say that to me, because, you know what, he was right. I can't understand what goes on in his head, but I'm always going to be there. You know, I have a policy that he can text. My husband and I both have a policy. He can text us any time of the day or night if he's having an OCD emergency. You know, we drop everything if there's something going on that he needs to talk to us about. And I just think that's so important. It's like having a safety net. So, I mean, and it's like when you're really ill, and, you know, and you don't always want people around you. I mean, I know that there are sometimes my son just wants to crawl up and he doesn't want to talk to people, but he knows that we're always there for him. And I just think that's so important, because at some point you're going to come out of that. You're going to come out of that little cocoon if you're like curled up in a fetal position. And to know that there's someone there who's just going to give you a hug and not judge you and say, you know what, it's okay. You don't have to win every battle. You know, bad days happen. We have this saying in my house, you know, bad days happen, and there's always, you know, tomorrow always brings hope for a new day. And when we're in those really bad days, you know, we have a little phrase. I'm not going to say it because it involves a cuss word, but we say it's a fuck day. Oh, sorry, oh, that came wrong. No, cluster day. Sorry. and you know, we just going to roll with the punches. I just say it's one of those days. You just got to batten down the hatches and get through. And, you know, and then we'll start fresh tomorrow. And I think that's important to know, that there are people who will stand by you when you're having one of those really, really bad days, even if they're not interacting with you, even if they're just standing on the other side of the door or the other side of the phone.
Yeah. You know, I can't let you go, Barbara, without mentioning this connection with you to Marianne, and that is courage. Again, I've referenced it a couple of times in this conversation, that it takes courage to be able to stand in your truth of who you are. How did you get that courage to say, these are stories that I want to tell, and I believe that people will appreciate them? How did you get to that place?
Well, it was very organic. I didn't have a grand plan, I can assure you of that. But, you know, I grew up in a family where there was mental illness that was not acknowledged. It was swept under the carpet. You know, we didn't talk about it. There was an alcoholic in the family, and my mother and I were enablers, and, you know, all the things that you don't talk about. And I saw the stress that took on the family, and I didn't like it. I didn't like the fact that I had to lie to people. You know, I thought I was trying to protect someone I love, but it's not, you know, that's not healthy if you're feeling so conflicted. And, you know, when my son was first diagnosed, I didn't want that path for him. I didn't want him to feel shame. I didn't want him to feel there was anything he had to hide. So, you know, from the beginning, I kind of empowered him and said, be open. When he went to a new school, I told everyone at the school that he had OCD. I actually, and they said, great, tell us about it. We don't know about it. I actually wrote up a document that said OCD 101 and tried to tell them everything I knew. And then for my debut novel, I had a different hero. And then one day, James Neely, who has obsessive compulsive disorder and who is the hero of The Unfinished Garden, popped up in my mind. And he just kind of took over, and I went, oh, my gosh, this is fabulous. And a couple of people, some very prominent agents, told me the book would never get published because James was too dark to be a romantic hero. And I thought, well, I've got nothing to lose. I'll just make him darker. I'll let him talk about the voice inside his head. And then, you know, I found a lovely agent, and I had a wonderful publisher, Mirror Books, published my first two books. And they were so supportive. And, you know, my agent talks about my BCW characters. And I think once The Unfinished Garden came out and James kind of quietly did his little, well, not quietly because James isn't a quiet kind of guy, but he kind of did his thing and people started liking him and connecting with him and saying how wonderful that you're talking about OCD and how unusual to have OCD as a hook in women's fiction. And it just kind of grew from that. And going to book clubs and you know, get a group of women and a couple of bottles of wine and talk about family secrets and mental illness, and everyone's in tears. We always pass tissues around, and then my book clubs are like open therapy sessions. It's amazing. So it just kind of grew. And then, you know, I had already written a personal essay that came out in an anthology called Easy to Love But Hard to Raise. I'd already written a personal essay about, you know, parent. It's an anthology of stories about parents who, you know, are dealing with children with invisible disabilities. And I had a story about, you know, what it was like trying to raise a child with obsessive compulsive disorder. And I was already connected into that group and talking with other mothers who were dealing with invisible disabilities. And I realized that, you know, this was kind of my world, and this was kind of what I wanted to do. And that I thought I had something to say. It's not, you know, humongously, well, different to anyone else, but I felt, sure, comfortable saying it, and I could find my voice through my fiction. And, you know, I'm very lucky. I've got my little corner of the fiction world, and I'm doing my thing, talking about kind of wonderfully broken, messed up characters who are incredibly courageous. And there are no victims, right, in my books. They're all survivors. And, you know, I think the reality is that when you live with mental illness, it's terrifying. It's isolating. It's terrifying. You know, most of these diseases are potentially fatal. Bipolar disorder has a 1 in 5 risk of suicide. That's a terrifying statistic to live with. And, sure, you know, you have to have the hope that there's going to be a better tomorrow. You have to have the hope that you can survive. And you have to keep talking about these things. You have to keep the conversation going, because only by doing that can we spread information, you know, and chip away at the stigma and the shame, because it shouldn't be there. And, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful if one day we talked about broken minds in the same way we talk about broken bodies? So,
for sure.
That's my thing.
Sure.
I'll get off my,
yeah,
soapbox now.
No, I'm so glad you shared that, because, again, that is going to help people, Barbara, to know, again, that this is not just fiction. This is real life. And to, mm-hmm, be able, as you mentioned, to have your book clubs become, you know, almost these free therapy sessions, you know, for people is a great thing. And, again, mm-hmm, something that people can appreciate for sure. Again, great conversation today with award-winning author Barbara Claypole White. Her newest book, Echoes of Family, is just as great as this conversation. Barbara, I really do appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Book is available through our friends at Amazon.com. You can definitely get it there or through your favorite online retailer. You can also, of course, be able to go to your favorite bookstore. And if they don't have it, they'll be more than happy to order the book for you. And, Barbara, how can our audience stay connected with you?
The easiest way to find me is to go to my website, barbaraclaypolewhite.com. I'm the only Barbara Claypole White on the internet, I can assure you. And all my social media links are on my website. I have my email, my Facebook, my Twitter, my Instagram. I sort of spend my life on Facebook, so that's the easiest way to find me. But, you know, okay, you can also email me. I have a number of readers who don't do social media, and they just email me. So go to my website. Got everything there. It's got all the books. It's got the reader discussions for book clubs. It's got the order links, and it's got the list of events that I'm doing in October in our area for the book at some of the local indie bookstores.
All right. So make sure you all are staying connected with Barbara for sure. Barbara, again, thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it, and looking forward to the next conversation with you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, the pleasure is definitely all mine. And we thank you, our audience, for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. If you all came in late, you missed part of the conversation with Barbara, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media site, so head over to facebook.com/CyrusWeb, or you can go over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. Click on the link there, listen to the show completely for free, and share it with your friends from there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.